I think we're smart enough to handle it. But what we're going to do is we're going to break this down and answer some really basic questions about humility. And so logically, we'll start with the most basic question, and that is, what is humility? It's not something that we get to see a great deal of in our world. It's not something that's celebrated. It's not something that you see on the front page of magazines. Here is Time Magazine's most humble person of the year. We don't do that's not how it works. It's not how it works. That's not how it rolls. You know, we don't have pop culture icons who you know, come to fame, really infamy, because of their humility. It's because of their bravado or their flamboyance that you celebrate people in our society. And even from a young age, we kind of get conflicting ideas about humility and how we should come across. Because when you're really little, they tell you to share, right? You know this. When you're a kid, your mom's like, well, share with your brother or share with your friend or share with the person that's here playing with you. And you don't really want to do that, but you do it anyway. And then when you get a little bit older, they tell you to get yours. They tell you to take care of number one. They tell you, I'm going to get mine so you get yours. And I'm like, well, which one is it? I can't seem to figure it out because you're giving me these conflicting messages. Then we're told, this one's fun, we're told to treat others how we would like to be treated, right? Golden rule, treat others how you would like to be treated. And then when you get a little bit older, they're told not to care what other people think. So previously, we're told to think about how they think and how you would like to be treated based on how you're treating them. And then when you get older, you're told, well, don't care what people think. Who cares what they think, right? And I'm just like, which one is it? I'm so confused. It can be incredibly confusing. So what we're going to do is we're going to get down to the brass tacks of what humility is from a biblical perspective. And we're going to use a couple of complementary definitions for clarification. Can we do that? Good. We're going to, so just go with it. The first definition that we're going to look at for humility is this. And this is hard, man. Let's not be naive enough to think that humility is a simple thing. Let's not think, because I think we disillusion some people when we tell them that, man, you know, just come to church and follow Jesus and your life is going to be really good. It's going to be really easy. And it's going to be really awesome. Because that's just not the case all the time, right? There are parts of it that are even more difficult than before. But there's always goodness and there's always grace. But sometimes it's hard work and sometimes there's a struggle. And this is one of the things that I struggle with. You probably don't because you're so humble. The first definition is this: honoring others above yourself. To be humble, we honor others above ourselves. That's what we're told in Romans chapter 12. It's about not being selfish, using or manipulating people for your own gain, or thinking that you're better than them. I'm going to do that one more time. Let me reverse. It's not being selfish. It's not manipulating people or using them for your own gain. You know how people posture and they kind of leverage their relationship with you to get something out of you or get to someone else through you? And that's not humility. That's arrogance. That's thinking that you're better than the person that you're having interaction with or in a relationship with. Just look at the first few verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. And again, it's kind of interesting that he addresses their position because in position, they're above the people that are underneath them. That's simple, right? That's the most profound statement I've ever made. They're above the people that are beneath them. Where else would they be? So in position, the audience was above their peers. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for selfish gain, sordid gain, but with eagerness. And don't lord it over them. Don't kind of, you know, abuse the power that you've got that was allotted to your charge, but be an example to the flock. Show people what humility is in spite of your position. Show people what humility is in spite of maybe the success that you've had or the achievements that you've accomplished. Don't let it go to your head, right? Because as we'll talk about in a little bit, all that stuff can change in an instant. So that's the first part of it, is just honor other people above yourself. Even if, and this gets, let's be honest, sometimes you'll have a conversation with somebody or you'll have an interaction or a dealing with somebody and you're legitimately smarter than they are. Yeah. Or you are legitimately more accomplished than they are. Or you are better than them at some specific area that you're talking about. Who cares? You don't have to flaunt that. You don't have to let them know that. You can be inner quiet, inner strength, inner strong, inner bad, right? For whatever that's worth. You guys didn't really, I expected more, but there was less outer and more inner. Maybe inwardly, you guys were killing it. So the second definition for humility, first one, honor others above yourself. The second definition for humility that I think gives us an incredible amount of clarity around this. This is so good. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less often, right? Because I think a lot of people shy away from humility because it seems the way that it's presented and sometimes the way it's defined in our culture is that, well, if you're humble, you're weak. Or if you're humble, you don't have anything to be proud of. Or if you're humble, then you just don't have strong character. You're not very confident, or you're not a brave or courageous person. You're humble because you don't have anything to offer, and that's not the case at all. In fact, I think that exhibiting humility is one of the greatest shows of strength that we could possibly have, right? Like, because when you're humble, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything. And in fact, it means that you do have something, but you don't want to, you know, put it on parade for everybody to see. And you've actually got confidence in who it is that you is. To be humble, it doesn't mean that you denigrate, you disparage, or you degrade yourself at every turn. Because I think a lot of us have a tendency to do that, right? It's not that we think less of ourselves. It's not that we beat ourselves up. It's not that we're always criticizing ourselves or trying to bring ourselves down so that we're humble. In fact, it doesn't mean that you're incapable, incompetent, or invaluable. I like things that repetition is good, right? It doesn't mean that you're incapable, incompetent, or invaluable. Conversely, what it means is that you are strong, that you are bold, and that you are capable, and you are so much so that you don't feel the need to parade it around flamboyantly, right? You are so strong that you don't have to tell anybody about it. You are so intelligent, you are so gifted, you are so courageous that you don't have to let the whole world know. How amazing would that be, social media? I don't need to hear how awesome you are. Just live your life and show the world how awesome you are. What the world needs is a lot more self-promotion. We're going to get there. I'm going to save that one. That's going to be the crescendo. That's going to be the end of all things. It's probably going to be the end of our world, but it's going to be the end of the message too. So that's the first question. What is humility? The second question, how do we live humbly? So now that we've got the what out of the way, let's get to application. I love application. It's one thing, have you guys, and I love the way, like, science, we always have these theories, right? We have these ideas of what something should do, but then you put it into practice in real life and you're like, well, that didn't work out as well as we thought it would, right? And so it's one thing to understand something in theory, but it's another thing entirely to put it into practice. And humility is no different. It doesn't matter if you know the definition. What matters is if you live the definition, right? And so there are a couple of insinuations in the passage as to how to live humbly, and we've already kind of alluded to some of them, but let's start with the more obvious. To live humbly means that you are a confident individual. You have to be confident if you want to really be humble, right? And it seems like a contradiction, but it's not at all. If you want to be humble, if you don't want to parade yourself around, if you don't want to kind of bring all of the attention and awareness of a situation to you, then you have to be confident. You have to be secure in who it is that you are. And that's the tricky part, because where do you place your confidence? Right? So to be confident, as followers of Jesus, our confidence should never be placed in ourselves or our ability, because that's a train wreck waiting to happen, right? Place some confidence in yourself, and then tomorrow you're going to drop the ball. Place some confidence in your abilities, and then what happens when you lose those abilities? Place some confidence in your physical appearance, then what happens when you get into an accident and that's taken away from you, or you age, because that happens. Right? Our confidence is never in ourselves. Our confidence isn't in what we can accomplish. Our confidence isn't in our abilities. Our confidence has to be placed somewhere else. And we're also smart enough to know, I hope that we're smart enough to know that we shouldn't place our inner confidence in outward circumstances. That's really good. We're smart enough to know that we shouldn't place our inner confidence in outward circumstances or relationships, right? Because all of those are tumultuous. All those things change. And even if it's good, it doesn't mean that that's where your confidence should be derived from. Our confidence has to come from God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 4, 6 through 7. Because wouldn't you, I mean, just think about it. How many of you like to plug your television into a power outlet? right? You want it to work, correct? You want to, when you sit on the couch at home after a long day of work and you're going to watch Netflix and not chill, or you're going to watch the news or do whatever it is that you do, when you press power on the remote button, you want the TV to come on, right? And what do you need for the TV to come on? You need a constant power source. You need a consistent power source. And if you want to live humbly, don't place your trust and confidence in things that are volatile. Place your trust and confidence in someone who is a constant power source. Verse 4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." We've got this hope, this confidence in someone who is so much greater than us, so much better than us. And it says in verse 6 and 7, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And I love that last part, verse 7, cast all of your, one version says, cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. And I think that that's where our confidence can come from, right? We can place our confidence in a God who cares about us so much that he numbers the hairs that we have on our head. There's not a circumstance that you face that he's not concerned about. There's not a situation that you're going to go through that he's not interested in. That's the God that we serve. It's this constant power source who we can place our hope and our trust in. And man, we can be confident in that. That's where our confidence should come from. So that's the first part. Be confident. The second thing is this. To live humbly, you got to put it on like socks or underwear. I hope you guys change underwear. I have to remind my son that that's a normal thing to do. Nah, later, like earlier in life, he doesn't do that anymore. And so you got to put it on. It is a choice that you make every single day to put on humility. You clothe yourself with humility. Did it work? Uh-oh. I'm going to wear it the whole time. Because I'm confident. Thank you. So you have to, I may not, I don't know. This is awfully uncomfortable. So the second thing we have to do to live confidently or to live humbly is to put it on. It says in that passage, it says this, to clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And that's the message of the title, by the way, is to kiss the cook. And you'll understand that in a minute. The word clothe, let's kind of, where is that at? What verse is that? I'm going back. You don't have to. Clothe yourselves with humility. Maybe you should bring it up. I'm struggling. Verse what? There it is, verse 5. It says, "You younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Now, the word clothe there, it was an expression used, if you look kind of at the Greek language, I don't remember the specific word, and I'd probably butcher it if I tried to say it anyway. But what it means is it's when a servant would place an apron on their bodies to kind of to symbolize that they are there to serve. So a servant would put an apron on so he wouldn't get the rest of his clothes filthy when they were there to work, when they were there to serve, when they were there to not be about themselves but to be about other people. And so what they did is they would put the apron on, they would clothe themselves to serve other people. And what we should do is we should wake up every day with a worker's mentality, with this awareness that this world doesn't revolve around us, with the understanding that God is so much more interested in all of the people that you can help and all of the things that you can do than just your petty little problems that you like to focus on and the molehills that you've turned into mountains. God wants to use you to do something incredible, but he'll never be able to do it if you don't humble yourselves and clothe yourselves with humility. Soft. We're getting somewhere, right? And so that's the second definition is, oh man, I'm way out of, how do we live humbly? All right, let me, where are we going here? Y'all got me out of sorts, man. So what we need to do is clothe ourselves with humility. It's a decision that we have to make every single day. It's not a natural tendency. I don't naturally prefer to wear a funky apron, right? It's not something that's necessarily cool, because I don't know about you, but if I went on a hot date with my wife and she was wearing a smoking dress and I wore this, we would get some looks. She would get some looks, I would get some scowls, right? And what happens is, like, we want to be so cool that we're not interested in humility. And sometimes humility is not cool, but that's okay because it's more valuable. It has more of a lasting effect. So if I wore this out in public, I might look like an idiot, but I know what I'm doing. I've got confidence in what it is that I'm doing, right? So it's a decision that we make every single day. We wake up, we choose to live humbly as we're called to by God. We follow the example that Jesus set for us, and we serve those that he's placed around us. And this is what's crazy. Have you guys ever had like a little grill cookout party? Shelly loves to have cookout parties. This is how this goes down. Shelly's like, hey, let's have a cookout, which means you're going to do all the work because she doesn't grill, right? And so when people come over to your house and you're grilling, you're cooking out, you're serving them, right? Like, you put on the apron and you're serving them. Like, you're cooking. You don't expect somebody to come over to your house and start flipping burgers. I mean, most of the time it's like, get off my grill, bro. Get off my lawn, get off my grill. Like, you don't want people touching your, you're there to serve them. And in a much larger picture, that's life. The people that God has entrusted to your life, to your sphere of influence, it's your job to serve them. So kiss the cook. The last thing. All right, I'm taking it off, sorry. The last thing is this. So what is humility? We've gotten some definitions for that. Without messing up my Chrome Dome. How do we live humbly? We've talked about that. And the last thing is this, why should we live humbly? You know, when we were kids, we asked these questions a lot, right? Why? And then when you're a smart parent, you just say, because I said so. And we don't offer usually good answers as to why. And so I think why questions are good. I think why questions are important. And I think it's okay to ask why questions when it comes to our relationship with God, because what you'll often find is that God hides blessing in obedience. I'm going to wait for the delayed reaction there. That's okay. Let it process, and you're like, oh, that's good. That's good. And so when we were kids, we loved to ask why questions, and I think we should bring that same approach and that same mentality to our relationship with God, because all throughout Scripture, you find these commands from God, and what we do is we focus on the what. And we're never as interested in the why. When in my opinion, the why is always so much more important than the what. Like, our attention is on the directive, but never on the intent. Right? God told us to do this. Well, why did he tell him to do that? And what you find is that there is obedience, or there's blessing in obedience. What you find is if the what is done, the why becomes very clear. Let me give you an example. Go to church. Right? You find this Hebrews chapter 10. It says, do not forsake the assemblings of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. I'm like, was that written yesterday? Right? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Like, go to church, come together, do this thing, this community, this ecclesia, right? Do that. And we're like, why? Well, here's the why, because we focus more on the what. Well, I don't want to go to church. That's the what. The why is this. Like, there are secular studies that prove that people that go to church all the time, that are consistent in going to church, they live longer, they have happier lives, they have healthier lives from a physical standpoint, they have better relationships. Why? There's your answer. Suck it up. And there's so many different things that we could look at. Well, it's like the what. Well, don't have sex before you get married. And everybody's like, why? 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 And then these are secular studies that tell you that people who wait for sex until marriage, they have happier, healthier relationships physically, emotionally, spiritually. And people who are monogamous, they don't experience all of the trauma and issues that people who aren't experience, right? Well, what? That's the what. And there's the why. There's blessing in obedience. So, you guys are starting to clap now. This is good. It's working. So, here are some of the whys as to why we should be humble people. And this is what's interesting. Here are some of the whys to humility. And if you are obedient, you will look wise. Blessing, first one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, to sum up, all of you be humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. If you're humble and you don't respond and you don't retaliate and you're not vindictive or vengeful, then what happens is God will bless you. That's one of the whys to humility. That's one of the things that is kind of a blessing in obedience. The next one is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10, or verse 10. It says this, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. I don't know about you, but I kind of like all those words, because they're all like, yeah, powerful, strong, courageous, good, bold. Like, these are the things that God wants to do in us and through us if we choose humility. The word perfect, it seems like, oh man, I'll never be perfect. That can't be true. But you know, the word perfect, what it means there, it's actually to complete, to mend what is broken. And isn't that our world, right? Isn't that our lives? Like, we've got so many broken parts of our lives, and God will mend the things in your life that are broken if you have confidence in him, trust in him, and live humbly. The word confirm means to make your crazy mind stable. And I added the crazy part, but it means to make stable of the mind. And I'm like, God, that's what our world needs. That's what I need, because my mind is a battleground. My mind is the place where all of my problems seem to start, because I start thinking one way, or I start thinking about myself in a certain way because of this or that, and I've got all my failures and all my issues, and in my mind starts going cray, cray, and I need some stability in my mind, and that happens through humility. Stability through... Okay, there's more, but wait, there's more. The third one is to strengthen you. It says he'll strengthen you, and the word strengthen means this. It means it makes the soul strong. Do you get the weight of that? Do you get the power of that? That if we choose to live humbly, that it makes our soul strong. Like, and I think we need some of that, right? We need people with some strong souls. We need some people who can stand up and not be deterred and not be distracted by things that are happening around them, or not be influenced by the court of public opinion, but they are who they are because their soul is strong, and you're not going to convince them otherwise. I want to have a strong soul. It's this outward stability that comes from inward tranquility, right? You've got stability on the outside because you've got confidence and peace on the inside. And that happens through humility. The last part of that is to establish. It's to lay the foundation. That's what the word establish means. And what I think for us, the way that kind of our takeaway is that God will open doors for you that you could never open for yourself. God will do things for you. I've heard this before, and this is so good. God can do more for you in a moment of favor than you could do in 1,000 hours of labor. But we don't believe that, because we self-promote, and we tell everybody how awesome we are, and we let them know how incredible our family is by the pictures that we post on Instagram, and we let them know about all of our successes and all of our accomplishments and all the good things that we can do, but we don't ever talk about the bad things, because we don't really believe that God can use our failures and turn it into something good. We don't believe that he can take our mess and turn it into a masterpiece. And if we really believe that, then we would live humbly, believing that God is the one who establishes, God is the one who lays the foundation, God is the one who opens doors for us. We just serve, and we're faithful, and we're consistent, and we every opportunity we're given, we try to serve other people. We're not perfect in that by any stretch of the imagination, but when we choose and prefer other people to ourselves, God is the one who opens the door. God is the one who promotes you, which leads us to our last point. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm out of order on this too, and I don't care. Just take it. So humble, right? So humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. We're wrapping up with this. I think that the last blessing in obedience is promotion and grace. Promotion and grace. 1 Peter 5 and 6, chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. God is opposed to the proud. I don't want to live there, and I don't suspect that any of us do. And so let's go to the other side of the equation. But gives grace to the humble. Therefore, verse 6, therefore, and if it says therefore, you've got to see what it's there for. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Like, that's where our promotion comes from. Look, I don't need to know how awesome you are. I need to know how awesome the God that you serve is. Right? I don't need to know how incredible you are. I need to know how incredible your God is. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. Right? And if you serve a God who is mighty, who you can submit yourself to, you serve a God who is trustworthy, who you can place all of your confidence in, that's what I need to know. I don't need to know about your accomplishments, and I don't need to know about how intelligent you are or how awesome you are. I need to know about the God that you serve. That's what I need to know. And when we do that, when we live like that, God is the one that promotes us. God is the one who opens doors for us that we could never open on our own. And man, my life is a testament to that. There is nothing especially special about me, and the fact that I have this opportunity every single week to preach and talk to God's people, that's pretty awesome. Because, and I could tell you, we could spend a lot of time talking about, you know, the foolishness of this, right? That God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and that I didn't go to seminary, and I don't have a formal training, and that's pretty obvious to most of you, right? And the fact that God would open doors the way that he did for me to be where I'm at, it's because he humbles, or, you know, gives grace to the humble. And that's not like a humble brag, right? It's because of the grace of God that he gives to us. I think grace kind of has two working functions or definitions. The first part is like grace for salvation. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, so that no one can boast. That's the first part of grace. But I think the second part of grace is, man, I need grace every single morning when I wake up not to be a knucklehead. I need grace every single... What do y'all know about that, right? I need grace every single morning when I wake up to actually be a decent father to my kids and not be short and impatient. I need grace when I wake up in the morning to love my wife like Jesus loved the church. And you do too. Right? And as a wife, you need grace when you wake up in the morning to put up with all the dumb things your husband does. I can speak for the men, right? You need grace for this. You need grace when you go to work and you deal with them, that person, negative Nancy, drama queen, people acting like they're still in junior high when you're 40 years old. I need some grace for you, right? And God gives us grace when we choose to humble ourselves. But it's a choice, man. Put on the apron, kiss the cook. Be people who clothe yourselves with humility. And when you do, God will bless you. And when you do, God will perfect you. And when you do, God will confirm you. And when you do, God will strengthen you. And when you do, God will establish you. And when you do, God will promote you. And when you do, God will give you grace. Let's be people of humility. Let me pray for us real quick. God, you are so good. So much better than I deserve. I know that full well. But because you showed us the way of humility, God, we have an example to follow. We have this template set before us that we can choose to incorporate into our lives, to follow the path that we should go down. God, I pray, let's take just a minute here. If there's anybody in the room this morning that you need grace for salvation, kind of the first part of grace that we were talking about. It's by grace that we are saved. It's not something that we do on our own. It's not something that we earn. You don't get into the good graces of God because of your work or your performance. You get in because of the sacrifice of Jesus. If there's anybody in the room this morning that you want to give your life to Jesus and you want that grace, the grace that saves you, I want you to just, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to slip up your hand, and we want to pray for you specifically. Slip up your hand. Awesome. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for these hearts, God, who have been softened today. God, they know that they need you. God, and it's a conclusion that we've all come to at some point, God, that we are sinners in need of salvation, that we need your grace. We need you to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And God, we thank you that by the finished work of Jesus on the cross, that we have salvation in you, that we get to spend eternity with you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that when they wake up tomorrow, they would be reminded of the grace of God, that it's grace for salvation, but it's also grace for living, that our lives would be different tomorrow because of your working in us and through us, that we are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. God, I pray for everybody, the rest of us, God, that this is a choice that we'll make to live humbly. God, not necessarily because of the blessings and obedience, God, but because it's what you told us to do. And almost kind of condescendingly, like we tell our kids sometimes, because I said so, that would be enough for us to follow you. But you're such a good father that you had those blessings and obedience. God, we're thankful for that. Help us to be people of humility. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.